Congregation, we are traveling. You and I are on our way. Life is a path, a road on which you are. For some, that's a long journey, 80 years, 90 years. For others, the journey is shorter. They have a shorter route. But there is an end to always. Always leads, sooner or later, eventually, to a destination. That we are on our way is true for each and every one. But you can say it of groups of people as well. And sometimes we say that family is on the wrong way. So, also countries, cultures, nations are on the way. And it's essential that you go the right way. And the right way, that's the way which you know that as a good destination is the right way. The question is not whether that is the easiest way, but if it is the way that ends at the right destination. And you know, when you are on your way, you always make choices. Shall I stop or continue? Shall I rest or shall I go on? Gradually, you come to two crossings, two intersections, and then you must choose left or right. You are on a road. You do not start out, you are already on the road. And on your way, you make choices. Choices which are literally vital. So the question is, how do you know that you make the right choices? In the Bible, the essential question is not so much who are you, but rather this one: where are you going? Where are you going? Because by the way you go, you tell who you are. Your conduct, your choices, your manners, your conversation tell us which way you are going. You can see that also in the Bible. Bad kings walked in the way of Jeroboam. That's bad behavior. But one can also go, Psalm 23, in the path of righteousness. The question is not so much who are you, but where are you going? This morning we will see what Scripture tells us about the right way. I minister you the word this morning from Jeremiah chapter 6, and the text for the sermon is verse 16. These words: thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Just before Israel entered in the promised land, was, as it were, on its borders, wanted to go a new road, Moses spoke to the people and put them to a choice. What did Moses say? these words. See, I set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. When you are on the way, you have to choose. And the history of the people of Israel shows what happens when you take the wrong roads too often. Then you come to a dead end. And that's what happens. They came to a dead end in exile. The prophet Jeremiah had seen it happening. More than 40 years he had seen the long way to the deportation of the people, the reaction of the laws of the Lord, the keeping up of a self-willed religion, holding up to all kinds of idols, the resistance against the message of God, and even the religious leadership, the priests, were guilty of these sins, because the priests tried to cast Jeremiah into prison. Even worse, the idols are in the temple, the house of the Lord. The Lord complains, they have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And the false prophet cry, peace, peace, and no danger. There are no problems. And do not listen to that pessimist, Jeremiah. Yes, he cries that danger is coming from the north, from Babylon. But that shall not happen. Even worse, they do not hesitate to cry, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. And Jerusalem is the city of the Lord, because the temple is there. So nothing can go wrong. You should not think that the people were not religious anymore, that they did not come to the Lord and his service. Yes, they did. Look at verse 20. Huge amounts of money are spent for the service of sacrifices. They import precious incense and encalmus from far countries. Sacrifices are banned in the temple. But the Lord loathes of that. Look at chapter 7, verse 9. For the Lord complains, will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense into Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? So they come to the temple, it's true, but in the meantime, they cause their children to pass through the fire in the valley of Hinnom. When you often choose wrong, often take wrong roads, it becomes more and more difficult to return and to find the right way. Probably we have to read this portion, chapter 6, against the background of the reformation of King Josiah, who, you know, has found the book of the law again and introduced all kinds of reforms. And that was well done by this God-fearing king. But sadly, the reforms did not penetrate into the hearts of the people. Yes, an outward reformation had taken place,
But there are still all kinds of practice which just go on. The people had indeed taken over part of these reforms by Josiah. They go to the temple again, and they bring abundant and luxurious sacrifices, but they do not think of keeping the provisions of the covenant of the Lord. They do not think of walking in God's ways. So there is no inward renewal at all. And you often choose wrong, often take wrong roads, it becomes more and more difficult to return and to find the right way. Under King Manasseh, the people had for a long time very much accustomed to all kinds of abominations. Bible scholars suppose that this is the background of this portion in Scripture. This chapter is about the resistance of the prophet Jeremiah against the superficiality of the people. They want both God and their sins. And they are applauded by the false prophets who rock the people asleep and preach God's approval of their sinful ways. And now Jeremiah says, Israel, you are standing on crossroads. And that means you have to make a choice. The prophet Jeremiah stands there like a signpost, or rather, God shows them the right way. Verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So Jeremiah appeals his hearers to study the tradition of the country, to discover what is pleasing to the Lord. Jeremiah calls the people back to the covenant which God had made with Israel long times ago. He calls upon them to obey the provisions of the covenant. And he says, you have strayed so far from the right way, so far from the Lord. Look behind you. Look back, so that you may find the right way. Jeremiah calls it the old path. That means the ways of God's laws, God's words, the way of the covenant from which you have strayed so far away. The old path, that may sound strange to us. With us it's often the newer the better. Old ways are mostly not the best ways. But that's not always true. In ancient days, old ways were tried and tested ways. There's an old Latin saying, and it says, via trita, via tuta, and that means the much trodden roads are the best roads. Old caravan roads which led the merchants safely to their destination for centuries. Old ways are in the ancient times good ways. Mostly it is the safest going on the track on which many have gone before you and who have reached their destination in safety. Prophets in the Bible always call upon people to go the old, tried ways of God's words and God's ordinances. Jeremiah must make clear to the people that they have gone wrong ways. And yes, indeed, the whole history of the people of Israel, without a few exceptions under godly kings, the whole history is a sad tale of failures, of wrong choices. You can see that, yes, read Jeremiah 7:23. that the Lord says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward, since the day of your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, and to this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers." There's a short summary of the history of the people of Israel. Israel had forsaken the old path. And I say, when you often choose wrong, often take wrong routes, it becomes more and more difficult to return and to find the right way. But the Lord does not leave the people without warning. He calls them back. Calvin says, and that's nice, God invites them kindly to choose the right way. There is a good way. And the history teach which way leads to nothing and which ways are ways of life in the days of the godly kings, for example. Just look back and see where things went well and where they didn't. And ask for the old path. Where is the good way? Congregation, we have lost the right way as well. In our Western culture, in church, and maybe also personally. I read somewhere, maybe you recognize it, at a certain point, sometime in the middle of the 20th century, Europeans and Americans realized that they had lost all sense of direction. There used to be signposts on the roadside which monitored their personal and social lives from birth through adulthood to death. But now the West is groping in the dark, stumbling in blindness, groping for points of recognition. We have lost the way as well. Long ago we got on the wrong track. And our civilization stands on crossroads. And we seem to choose the wrong way. Moral violence on TV, on internet, is one of the symptoms of our disease. And in the meantime, we do not realize that we have to pay a price for it. A really high price. That is the moral downfall of a new generation. Last year in the Netherlands, there was an open letter in a newspaper of a number of scholars in which they sounded the alarm on marriage. And it were not all Christian scholars, but they say one can opt for all kinds of relations outside marriage and put children in the world, but children just need the protecting bond of marriage and family. But people do not dare to opt for a permanent lifelong relation because they are afraid of binding themselves and pledge faithfulness. And that's the price we pay for individualism. When you often choose wrong, often take wrong roads, it becomes more and more difficult to return and find the right way. That's our culture. But in many churches, the truth of the Lord is also put aside. Yes, like Jeremiah's days, people are still religious. But one does not want to hear of the cross, of obedience, being subject to the word of God. One does not want to hear of sanctification. So God is served, that is true. but in our way, the way it pleased us. But the Bible says you cannot have Christ and your own sinful choices at the same time. And I think we need not look left of us only. In how many churches is the message of remission of sin through faith in the righteousness of Christ still preached? Haven't we secretly bared the doctrine of justification with all kinds of conditions? Do we still preach the Word of God in its full width and depth? That means law and gospel. That means the judgment of God on your and my life, but also the free assets which there is in the Lord Jesus for sinners. Also for the church, there's only one way back. This way, ask for the old path, where is the good way. It has nothing to do with nostalgia, but it means to go on the way of the Word, the way of the confession of the Church of Ages. There is only one way back, and that's always the way to Scripture, so that you can say, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jeremiah shows the way back to the face of the fathers who walked in the ways of the Lord. But that holds true for us as well. We do well going the way in which many thousand went before us. We can learn so much from the past. There are so many signposts. Augustine and Luther and Calvin and the Puritans and Ryle and Kolbrugge. All of them follow the same track. That's the way of the faith and the trust in the accomplished work of Christ. They again put the church under the authority of the Word. And the cross of Christ was the center of their preaching. They believed in the sovereignty of God. And they made God's honor the center of their preaching. And they based themselves on the Word of God only. They have finished their journey. But their footprints are still here. And their footprints show us the direction. We are not alone in the church. Millions of people before us trod the way of life and the way of faith also. Therefore on Sunday we confess always our faith with the Church of Ages. We are not alone. And we do good listening to their voices. I studied theology at university for 7 years. But my experience, good theology is just like wine. When you get new wine, you say, give me the old wine nevertheless. That's better. Many innovation only lead us farther from the Lord and the cross of Christ. What we need is to listen to the Scriptures. What we need is sound theology. And above all, and that's the most important, For if you ask me now, what is the way, in one word, then I must say, that's Christ. In preaching, I may show you only one way, and that's faith in Christ. You know, one day Thomas asked the Lord Jesus a question, and he asked, how shall we know the way? And then Jesus answered, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and life. He is the way. One day a young man was troubled about his salvation, came to the well-known English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon to ask him, what is the way to Christ? To his disappointment, Spurgeon says, I cannot show you the way to Christ. The boy says, but I thought you are a minister of the gospel, so you have to know, you have to tell me the way to Christ. It's impossible, says Spurgeon. There is no way to Christ. There is no way to Christ. He himself is the way. And I think that's the good answer. He himself is the way. The ancient way, which is always new. The way to God, says Hebrews, the way to the sanctuary is a new and a living way, always. And he is also the only way. Only in him rest can be found. Many people are tired. They are at a loss what to do. They have no rest in their lives. Do you have rest? He who goes in the way of the Lord has rest, peace. That says our text, walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Do not act like Israel. Do not say what they were saying, we will not walk therein. Do not act like Israel, which said, we will not listen to the watchmen, to the prophets. Do not react the right way. There is only one way with a final good destination. And that's the way of faith in Christ. All other path leads to nothing. So, ask for the old, good path. Ask for the only way, Christ. Because no man cometh unto the Father but by me. God has given us the route map to the new Jerusalem. That's his word. And he has also given watchmen to blow the trumpets. There is some thread in it. In Israel, the trumpet, the shofar, was blown when war or battle was at hand. Then there were warnings. Today, God's watchmen also blow the trumpet in order to warn that there is danger if you do not go the right way. And I think danger is imminent. We cannot always go on in this way. A country and a culture cannot fax and ignore God without end, I think. Going the way of Christ is not always the most attractive thing to do. You may think, just as the Jews in Jeremiah's days, we will not walk therein. You may think that way is too narrow, too straight, it costs too much. And yes, that's true. One must let go a lot. One must deny oneself. One must crucify one's flesh. But it is a good way. It's a good way. It's a sure destination. The way which leads to destruction is wide. By nature, all of us go that way. And you don't have to choose for that one. So it's easy. But the preaching of the word puts you on crossroads. And God says to you and me, go the right way. The way of my word, my commandments. So the Lord gives you the choice. Maybe it's your question, how do I get into that way? What is the way? Simply said, there's only one answer, and it's faith in Christ. Maybe there is so much restlessness in your life. Maybe there is no peace at all. You may say, what's the way? Jesus say, I am the way. Do you want rest in your heart? Peace in your life? John Calvin says this passage contains a precious lesson. This lesson. Faith always leads us to rest in God's grace. He who embraces the truth with his heart, because it comes from God, has peace. So faith always leads to rest. If you lost the way, don't you know where to go? God invites you to the rest which is in Christ. In Isaiah 30, there is a very remarkable text. It says, the Lord says to his people, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. It's a remarkable text. It means through resting and trusting in God, you are saved. One day, the Lord Jesus himself called, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there are so many weary people whose life is marked by unrest, also in the church, also tomorrow here in the church. Unrest. Put your burden on Christ and go the old, tried way of faith in Christ. Then you will have peace. And may confess, like Paul in Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He who chose this way does not choose a simple way. But God does not leave you alone on this road. Why not? Because he sends his Holy Spirit as a guide. The same Paul says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit as a guide on the road. And all who needs guidance and calls upon God, for his Spirit shall hear, this is the way, walk ye in it. The message of Jeremiah is not free of obligations. That's the word of the Lord. Never. The Lord says in our chapter, look to verse 21, if you do not want to ask for the right way and remain on this road of destruction and aversion from me, I shall do something as well. What? I shall lay stumbling blocks on your way. Stumbling blocks. Fathers and children, neighbors and friends shall all fall. They shall perish For evil will come from the north. That means the enemies. That means Babylon. Judgment for Israel is imminent. And that is God's stumbling block on which eventually nearly all the people will fall. And I think that's still true. If ye do not repent, do not choose the ways of the Lord, and Christ does not become the way for your life, you will eventually stumble on Him. And He that is the way becomes a stumbling block for you. If you do not found the house of your life on the foundation which God has laid in Christ, then the foundation stone becomes a stumbling stone. But for whom that goes that way is the promise of Psalm 190, verse 165 true. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. No stumbling blocks on your way. It's allowed to listen to the invitation of the Lord, because the Lord will send nobody away. All our ways to God are closed. Have you found it out yet? Our ways are closed. We come to the Father not by keeping the law, not by following up God's commandments in our own power and strength, but we come to the Father only through Jesus Christ. He is the way. Martin Luther says, it's only God's word that shows us the way to heaven, namely the Lord Jesus Himself, the good way on which our heart may be found and in whom it may trust. With Him there is peace for people hunted, burdened by guilt and by sin. By resting you are saved, I just said. Have you yet learned to rest on the accomplished work of Christ? Then you do not do it on your own way. Then you do not do it yourself anymore. But then you leave your salvation in His hand. Then you leave it to Christ in faith. And you can say, as Isaac Watts, my face would lay her hand on that dear head of thine. All ways have an end. Also the way of faith. But Scripture says, there remain therefore a rest for the people of God. For we which have believed to enter into rest. One question. Why are you saved when you trust yourself to Christ? Why are you saved when you trust yourself to Christ? Is believing then an achievement? No. You are saved because another person has done and accomplished everything. You are saved by doing nothing at all and put your salvation in His hands. What a lesson is there to learn that. You are saved by doing nothing. Why are you saved? And you trust yourself to Christ. Well, He is the way because He Himself has gone away. He is the way because He Himself has gone away. Our way. My way. In our stead. He can be our way because He has gone our way. He has lived our life for 33 years. Perfectly obedient until the end. Kept the law. Fulfilled the will of His Father perfectly. What we could not do, never, He has done. Therefore, He is the chief captain and finisher of faith. He can be our way because He has gone our way. Which way do you go? That's an important question, and you have to give an answer on that question. Which way do you go? Have you learned to say yet, Lord Jesus, Thou art my way? In the book of Acts, the first Christians are called the people of the way. It says of Paul that he wanted to find the people of that way to persecute them. So Christians are people of the way. And that's right. They belong to Him. With that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.